You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you. Well, I love dildos and butt plugs too. Well, I'd sit on a bowling pin if a straight guy told me to. Ooh. Oh, that's right, Daddy. That feels really good. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast. It's a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and it is Saturday, April 9th, 2022. I hope you're doing well. I am doing okay. I've been very, very busy this week. That's why there has been no podcast for the most part this week. Did you miss me? I missed you. As always, this podcast and the website and everything else runs on my generous donations out of my own pocket and also support from people like you. So if you feel like you want to support the podcast, you can follow the links at the on the sticky post at the front of the website and choose your payment method. So, or you can join my Patreon. So there are ways to support things. So I had several really awesome stories that I posted this week. Some pretty incredible ones, honestly. But I want to talk about one in particular that I posted last night that really moved me quite a bit. And really, this story underscores the importance of hierarchy in a general sense, okay? It involves an older couple. They're in their 40s. So the faggot that I spoke to, his name is Jim, and his master is Jason. Jim is 48 years old. Jason is 49 years old. Jim contacted me to tell me how much he appreciated fagsworshipalphas.com and the information in it. And he began to tell me a story about how he and his former partner, now master, Jason, came to start off as a regular gay couple and over time began to understand that they both had needs that were undeniable, the hierarchical needs. So they started off, I think they began dating in 1998, and eventually they got married. And over time, Jim in particular was feeling extremely unfulfilled as simply the partner of Jason, because he had this deep need that he didn't really understand about service. And he would actually go outside the relationship to get that fulfillment of serving men, you know, being a faggot, fulfilling that desire as a faggot. Now, he didn't really understand it other than he knew he needed it. And he wasn't getting it at home. And he didn't know really how to approach Jason, his husband, about this need. Now, unbeknownst to Jim, Jason had these latent alpha desires that he was basically suppressing too. in order to be in this relationship that he thought Jim wanted, you see? So they were both playing this kind of game that is forced on people who get into relationships where, and this happens across the board, you know, a man and a woman get in a relationship and they start compromising themselves, you know, in order to have this relationship. You know, how many, I can't tell you the number of male friends I have lost over the years because, you know, their wife or girlfriend doesn't like them, you know, hanging out with single guys or going to a bar with single guys or whatever, you know. So the guy doesn't go, even though he wants to go, right? And I never really respected that at all because really, you know, a man should be a man and they should be able to express themselves however they want. So don't be a fucking pussy-whipped bitch, okay? Anyway, of course, it's easy for me to say because I'm a single faggot. So anyway, these two were in this relationship and they were unhappy and they were unfulfilled, even though they were married, because they were ignoring their truth. And it got so bad that they went to seek counseling for their marriage, you know, to try to understand it. And during these therapy sessions, Jim's need to serve suddenly spilled out in the therapy session, where Jim just basically put it on the line and said, I need to serve you, not be your partner. I want to be essentially your slave, your faggot, okay? And James, or Jason, had never grasped that before. And it switched on something inside of him, where it gave him permission to become the alpha that he was born to be. And so their relationship began to transform, you know. Master Jason, you know, took control of the relationship as he's supposed to. And Jim became his faggot. Now they're married still, but Jim now serves Master Jason. And they actually had a collaring ceremony, which is featured in the header on the post that I put up. It's an outrageous chain. They went to Home Depot and they bought the biggest chain that they could reasonably find to put around Jim's neck and fit it with a master lock, okay? And it's a serious collar, okay? Like, there's no doubt when wherever Jim goes, if he's wearing it, they know what he is. Okay, he's property. They actually had a collaring ceremony. And of course, if you've read or you've listened to my podcast episode on collaring, it was very early in the podcast history, like in the first 10 episodes or something. You know, you'll know that collaring is a very specific, very deeply meaningful act for a faggot, to wear a man's collar. It's like being in chastity, but it's a public version of that. And I can only imagine how Jim feels wearing that collar of Master Jason's, because it's definitely a very potent symbol of ownership. But anyway, But the point is that now that they've come to accept the truth about hierarchy and their needs within it, they're much happier. They're both in their rightful place. And so everything flows. You know, I oftentimes use the quote, hierarchy is truth. And it's something that I made up years ago. And when I created that phrase, you know, I wanted something so definite, so undeniable, because it is undeniable. You know, I would love it if people wore that shirt that I made, hierarchy is truth, you know, so that people everywhere would have to look at it and say, what is that? Why is it truth? And then they would look within themselves and understand it, because there is no escaping it. Hierarchy affects everybody, whether they want to admit it or not. There is a pecking order, people, there is. And when we fight against it, when we fight against our place in it, we are unhappy. But when we accept it and embrace it and fulfill it, we are fulfilled as people. And the story of Jim and Master Jason is a prime example. And I think it's important to consider their example in particular, because they're an older gay couple. They come from a time where, let's see, the master-servant dynamic, or the alpha-faggot dynamic, wasn't popularized as much, because they grew up probably without the internet initially in their life, and there certainly weren't the resources that there are now to understand this stuff, and so they were going by the heteronormative definition of a relationship, of a typical relationship. You know, what are two married people supposed to be like? Well, they're supposed to be sitting in a park, you know, holding hands and looking at birds and having a picnic or whatever, riding bikes together and shit, okay? Going to the movies and whatever, cuddling up and watching TV, and that's fine, you know. But when we start to realize that the Norman Rockwell version of a relationship isn't realistic. It never was, okay? Even when Norman Rockwell was painting his paintings in the 50s, whatever, it wasn't realistic, okay? Guess what? Leave It to Beaver wasn't realistic in the 50s when it was on TV, okay? So, like, none of that's real. But those are the ideals that have been put in front of our eyes all the time. It blinds us. All that blinds us. You know, the movies that we see, the romance movies that we see, they're oftentimes set up as ideals rather than real examinations of how people are. And even when hierarchical values are depicted in media, it's depicted in a sort of a dark, dirty way, rather than simply the truth, you know. And this is why I don't get into the S&M thing, really, because I think that is kind of an exaggeration on the other end. I come down in the middle, okay? So even though people label me as some sort of extremist, I'm not. I come down in the middle, you know? I've served alphas as a faggot, as a live-in faggot. And it always was in the middle. It was just how it was. They were my master, and I was their faggot, and I served them day to day. And there was nothing weird or gross about it. It was fulfilling for both of us, you know. So, yeah. And so, like in this case, this older couple, they had to be shocked out of this. They had to have the blinders torn off of them so they could actually see what was happening. And this is kind of like whenever people come to me with questions about issues that they're having with their relationships, you know, this is one of the first things I always go to is, you know, what is the situation with your partner? Because a lot of times it ends up being this hierarchical issue where one or both partners are not embracing their proper place or unable to embrace it. So I think everybody should go and read that post from Jim and listen to his words, because he really kind of outlines what he was missing and what he found in his partner that maybe he didn't even realize was there until he admitted the truth. You know, we all have to live our truth, right? So, for a lot of us, for a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast, hierarchy is truth. And you're not going to experience the fullness of that until you admit it, to admit it to your partner, until you're just honest with people in general. So that would be my recommendation for everybody. Anyway, well, that's all I really had to say today. I really liked that post. I really appreciated Jim, my brother, my faggot brother, for sharing with me on that, because I do think it's a valuable piece of, it's a valuable illustration of the power of hierarchy, even with older gay couples. So, anyway, I hope that was fun for you. I have a couple of interviews coming. I think I might be having a third interview with Master J. The funny thing about Master J's second interview is that it's almost at 10K on YouTube, which is shocking to me, you know, because this is kind of a fringe thing, you know, in a general sense on YouTube. And so I like the fact that there's been that many views on YouTube for that video. Hopefully we're going to make a even hotter video. Master J apparently has a few things he wants to talk about that have happened since then. So one of them sounds very exciting. Also, I have my third interview coming with Master Alpha Aesthetic 8, who has had an outrageous year so far in terms of owning and using faggots. So we have a lot to talk about there. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to keep going. Anyway, I hope you're doing well. baseball's back on for me, so guess what? I'm going to be really distracted by that. So I'll be trying to keep a schedule of some kind, but I can't make any promises. I will talk to you later, okay? I love you. Bye.